I suggest to colleagues that there are some routine things, right? For example, on the vendor pension matter, is right here. That matter has been processed. All you have to do is adopt the report. Okay, so that only comes with now, we have agreed that we will table minutes once a month. I've spoken to the managers. They will attend to that issue, but we will do what normally happens and adopt the first quarter and second quarter minutes. But meanwhile, we have to get started. So it's difficult when Frank is not here, but we will deal with, you have all got the two-pager that deals with transformation. Now, in order to facilitate today's meeting, what I did was look at other aspects of transformation that should be included in the bill. And I think maybe we can ask the department to go through those aspects. In other words, it's very when I read through the whole bill, I realized that if you're making an amendment here for transformation, it has consequences for transformation elsewhere. So there's nothing new in terms of policy. It's just making transformation consistent across the whole book. Okay, over then to repeat once again, now that we have adopted the financial sector transformation report, that will be the framework. This thing is being counted. It's only finalizing the insurance bill, and I don't know where they are. If they're not in the house, I just...
Can you please contact me?
So can we then... remind ourselves that the finance transformation report now provides a framework within which the majority in this country will process all legislation, and not least insurance. So that is partly why we held it up until now. Then over to the department, can you just take us through the latest amendments? There's a text that's there, it's in black, right? Yeah. Can you send that one out? I don't have a copy. Have you got it, colleague? Yeah, they need a copy. Okay, thank you. We're circulating. All right. So here it is. Ah, welcome, colleague. Just to remind you, we can't cover it too late, right? So basically, let's move on. Right, the department is going to deal with further issues on transformation that have been included in the bill since last week, or 2 weeks ago, met. And secondly, they're going to deal with changes we made, minor changes, since the last meeting. Then we will look at Mr. Mania's letter. He's written a letter to us. Basically, it's about process. And Frank Jenkins will reply, and then we'll take it further. Right. Over to the department quickly. Point to the new ones. The ones that are there, we don't have to add, right? It's 3D is the first one you added, right?
Thank you very much. Actually, all of these indicate some minor additions.
Yeah.
The first the ones discussed yesterday,
mandated by the ANC study group. I hope people are listening. Mandated by the ANC study group, we make further changes on transformation, right?
The first is to insert a definition of financial sector code, which relates to what's referred to in the transformation definition.
But that wasn't the earlier one. So that's covered, right?
Well, this is a definition that isn't in the bill. So just because we refer to financial sector code,
right, so you put in the definition, very good.
The second is clause 3D, the objective. As discussed in the last meeting, it was proposed that we should rather refer to broad-based transformation in the objective, so we're just proposing to revise that slightly. And then...
Anybody got a problem with that one? Ah, Tandy. Welcome. Thank you. Yeah, you could have finished at 1 minute and 10, but leave that aside, Tandy. You're a senior leader of this committee, whatever that might mean. Needs more work, definitely. Okay, Janine, on broad-based, any comments here? We all agree? Good, shall we move on?
And then the next one is clause 22.1.3, and this relates to licensing requirements, and we're now proposing to include a reference that it needs to have a plan to meet its stated transformation commitments, including meeting the target envisioned by the financial sector code, to explicitly, even though that's included in the definition of transformation, we're explicitly referring to the financial sector code as the source of the requirement. The next one is clause 22D. This is based on discussions in the last meeting where it was requested that we rather revert to the previous wording of the provision. We had inserted wording.
I don't hear you.
Can you speak into the mic, please?
Okay. Oh, okay, that's a bit better. Okay. So, clause 22D is a proposed provision.
Yeah, that's the one. Those are the additionals on transformation that we added, based in part on our study group last week and on processing the bill to facilitate today's meeting with us. Yep. Course 34 at the moment, 34. Right, please, Jenny.
Okay. Well, clause 22D is just reversing
to
the word.
Clause 30 sub 4, thank you.
Clause 30 sub 4 is intended to provide a power to the Prudential Authority to prescribe governance principles and requirements that would specifically relate to the achievement and maintenance of the stated commitments in the transformation plan that's also referred to in clause 22. So that's explicitly allowing them to make
requirements. We're just inserting these things, Jenny. At this stage, I mean, really. Controlling company expense, right, that's a straightforward one. I haven't picked up the
okay.
last time. Can you turn to the second page, please, colleagues? Clause 63.
Clause 62, 4.
Oh, sorry.
We would propose the insertion of a new paragraph C.
Good. This is your own one, right? Because I don't recall this yesterday.
Well, it did, I think, come up in
fine.
The discussion
good.
Yesterday.
Fine, it did come up. Okay, good.
And similarly in clause 62.
Ah, yes, that's the one I proposed yesterday. Yeah,
okay. That's essentially
right.
a similar objective.
And again, 66.1C is straightforward. Janine, you're always explaining it. All
okay.
consistent with what we're doing. It's like consequential amendments. Go to item 6.3.
This is what was, we discussed this in the last meeting, the amendment to the licensing, the conversion of licensing schedule. And so we're inserting a reference in B3 to also refer to requiring any licensee with the conversion of licenses would have to have a transformation plan.
Okay, is there any problems with the further additions? No. Can we deal with the process matter? Now, if I understand your submission late yesterday, conveniently, you've had 2 weeks to raise this issue and at least 4 months. But nevertheless, if you're right, we allow you to bring it 5 minutes before a meeting. Essentially, what I understand you to bring here, Mr. Mania, is saying that your amendments to the bill are based on your belief that what we're doing is unconstitutional. That what we've done is expanded the scope of the bill, taken it beyond what the bill is supposed to be, and therefore we have to go to the House to get permission. I've spoken to Cedric Frolic, Leticia Senodi, and Frank Jenkins. I'll report back on what the two of them have to say. But in the meanwhile, just explain your case, please. Everybody's got it. It's under the banner.
We read it.
Thank you, Jay. In fact, I think three basic points which I'll try and summarize as quickly as I can. The first point is, as you say, is substantially procedural. I mean, you will recall that the public hearings were completed on or about the 6th of February 2016, and the subsequent to that, the objectives of the bill were amended to include provisions surrounding the transformation of the insurance sector on or about the 10th of May 2017, more than 12 months later. I mean, it would seem to me common cause that when you change the objectives of the bill substantially, you are expanding and changing the subject of the bill. And of course, if you are expanding or changing the subject in the bill, you need to comply with NA Rule 2864B, which we have as a committee not done. So that's the first point. Second point is, of course, the specific provision. 2864B. The second procedural point is, of course, the specific provisions surrounding the transformation of the financial sector were of course never traversed in the, or advertised or traversed in the original public hearings, which I think opens us up to significant risk. And I think that that risk, as I say in the memo, was at least surfaced when last week, at least in my interpretation, the Saab raised some reservations about the bill, which again have never been traversed or deliberated upon by the committee. So that's the procedural point. The second substantive point has to do with the Prudential Authority. My understanding that the Prudential Authority has a defined and limited mandate, and that that is set out, if I recall correctly, in section 33 of the Twin Peaks Bill and focuses primarily on the question of financial stability. And so it strikes me that extending the scope to promoting, licensing, and regulating financial institutions according to non-prudential criteria, in this case transformation, falls outside the scope of the prudential authority. Also, it would seem to me that if the prudential authority are required to regulate the insurance sector according to the financial sector code, which is an instrument which is essentially vested in the executive and outside the prudential authority, that risks compromising the independence of the prudential authority. And finally, the broad point that I would make is that requiring the prudential authority, which is essentially warehoused in the SOC, to regulate financial institutions, in this case the insurance sector, according to non-prudential criteria, risks in the long run, I think, compromising the independence of the SAR. And for that reason, I think that we should significantly rethink some of these clauses.
Right. Just a couple of points about the use of 28.6b, and then I'll come to the amendment. Let's see what the rule was intended for and whether it applies in this circumstance, because he's using a rule that may or may not apply. Over to you, Frank, and then I see Mr. Alvin Floyd wants to say something.
Yeah,
Floyd has left another meeting to come here, and you can see that this is a major issue. You know, the proletariat, whom he claims to represent, the mandate is
well,
Floyd to leave another meeting, it must be a that's such an important meeting. It shows he feels very strongly. I will write a letter to his CIC promoting him to senior deputy president of the EFF. Okay, over to you, Floyd. It's end of the year.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, this is the first time that I'm really confronted with this rule, because this is a rule that came into operation last year. It's a new rule, and it was brought into operation to actually extend the very next one, the sub-C. That rule has been there for a while, and that rule says if the committee is looking at an amendment bill, it can of course change what that bill is amending, but if it decides to use that amendment bill to amend other things in the Principal Act, new policy issues, then you need permission from the House. So last year we extended that to say even if you have a new bill in front of a committee, the committee must deal with that bill, but if the committee decides to put new policy issues in there, we need permission from the House and, of course, consultation with the executive, because it will affect the executive and as well as public participation. But if you're not doing new policy issues in that bill in front of the committee, this rule is not meant then to go back to the House to get permission for each and everything that the committee wants to do. So one must look at the issue of transformation of the insurance sector and whether that is a new policy issue that has now come up. And that will determine whether we need to seek permission or not. So that's the purpose of the rule. It's not there to go back to the House for each and everything and basically disempower the committee to consider and report back to the House. Thank you, Chair.
What?
No, I guess the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises and the ESCOM inquest, because
I think that the DA's intervention is opportunistic and problematic altogether. We raised the issue of transformation so much earlier, like far much at the beginning of the legislative process when we're dealing with this. We spoke about licensing that let us legislate clear conditions of what are the transformative commitments that have to be met with. And then to come at the tail end and then raise a procedural issue is opportunism of the highest order, which I think we should reject. But also, it looks like why would the DA oppose transformation commitments? Because the Constitution in section 9, subsection 2, compels us as Parliament to pass legislation that should address the imbalances of the past. And that is one. But two, in the public hearing, so many submissions spoke to the transformation objective. Like the four black insurance companies that came, we tried everyone who came to make submissions, they spoke to the transformation objective. So I don't think that we must even elevate the technical opportunism that is being brought forth by the DA. Let us future prominently the transformation commitments in Law 22 and all the other sections that speak to what has to happen. I think that should be the resolution of the committee. If the DA thinks that it's not constitutional or it's not in accordance with the process, it has got an option for judicial review, and we'll go to justify how we got to where we are currently.
Okay, Tani?
Chair, I need to say this is additional work for me, having to try and stop Floyd from stealing Metsimaholo. I'm spending sleepless nights in Metsimaholo, and then I come to this. No, he's a hell-bent, Chair. He's not going to retreat. He's not going to retreat. We are in serious trouble there. Yes. So, I read this, and Chair, you see, I've raised this thing, and I'm happy that Floyd, who has not been in this meeting, is able to pick up the same thing that I raised in this meeting, that David is opportunistic. He's been trying to block transformation by using procedure and wanting to argue from a procedural point to avoid transformation. And Fred, who has not been in those meetings when I made this issue, when I made this remark, is able to pick it up himself. Because, and I'm glad that Floyd was able to refer to the Constitution. Because any legislation that has been promulgated from 1994, its basis is transformation from the previously disadvantaged, meaning that any law that you are going to formulate or adopt must redress what happened in the past. And Chair, I said it outside the meeting, today I want to say it to you in the meeting. We are not going to vacillate about transformation. And I said to you last week, when we attained freedom, it was not served on a platter. People died for that. And economic transformation also is not going to be served by those who were privileged on a platter to us. They're going to resist change. And we're not going to be told about mandates. We can change mandates. We can change the entire structure of Chapter 9 institutions or any other institution that has been established by a parliamentary legislation. Because the very same mandate that he wants to hide behind of the Reserve Bank can be changed by this institution. And we're not the reckless here. We're not being reckless. The African National Congress is not a reckless organization. It's not an organization that's going to take decisions that will make the citizens pay. But equally, we're not going to let people sit in their comfort zone. I said when we were discussing mandatory audit rotation, I said to those who happen to be black, who are there, that you have arrived, now you have closed the door, and you are not paying attention to the issues that we look and see. And we are vindicated when KPMG misbehaved. We are vindicated. Now here we are being blocked from adopting a very... Now all of a sudden David becomes the spokesperson of the Prudential Authority. The Prudential Authority doesn't come here in front of us and argue that it will not be able to do that. We have never even put it to test whether it will work or not and say, because if David was saying, let's put it to test, if it doesn't work, let's come back and relook. It was going to be a very responsible input. But this one is not at all. Basically, David consistently has been arguing that if we transform, the economy will collapse. And he has not proven it to us. Actually, I'm happy that today we are having the debate that we are having. Because I will demonstrate what certain economists who are not South African, who are not black, have said about the South African economy. And what type of changes that needs to be there. So we're not going to be apologetic here on this one. Because we're not saying, let's change the mandate of the Prudential Authority. We're saying, let it observe. And I've been raising this thing, Unat, on a regular basis, that let's tweak the mandate of the Prudential Authority to also look at issues. And it doesn't have to be a steadfast position. That's why we've dealt with the clauses in the manner in which we did, and the specific wording that we have enclosed to try and soften how it does that. The DA don't want it at all. Basically, the DA says, don't transform. We're happy with the status quo. Black people must stay poor. They must not participate in the commanding heights of the economy. It's not their heavy. And he has demonstrated this view in many ways. He's even insulted the intellectual capability of government officials and people who come here. In the discussions we had last week, he was demonstrating that he undermines even experts in the field who have agreed with us. Because he holds a view that the status quo must remain. And we are not going to listen to that. We'll drag him in transformation, Chair. Thanks. I've got 11 o'clock meeting, please.
Anybody else have anything to say? No, I have to speak. You can respond. Can I just raise a few practical issues, right? Firstly, David, Mr. Mania, sorry. It's stunning that you could suggest there's no relationship between the public hearing and the insertion of further transformation in the body. In fact, it almost suggests a psychological blind side. To the concerns of black and African people in particular, the overriding point that came out, all four, as Floyd points out, in the original public hearing, all of them said, hey, to use the words we used in the report, don't ghettoize us. We do not want to go into the micro insurance industry alone. We want to be there, the big player. That's what they said. Zakele has done some reports. Zakele, can you give me the... Don't even give it. I'll just Google it and look at your... Look in your internet, find the report. Don't waste your time, Zakele. You've got it. It's there, glaring at you in black and white. Then it gets worse. When we have financial sector public hearings, not only do they fail, there is huge anger that the information, that the insurance industry is not transformed. So it's utterly not true. I don't know if I can use the word lie. But close, whatever word it is, you're close to lie, actually. Whatever the word is, in saying that nobody raised the thing. It's just so wrong. Just look at the report. Thirdly, when you talk of number of days, it's you, the DA, mostly. Every little thing happens. Let's have an oversight. Let's not look at legislation. We know what the agenda is. As Sally says, the agenda is to defer legislation that affects transformation. Let's focus on oversight so that we can only look. Now you listen to me again, which we'll discuss tomorrow about other things you want on the agenda, which we'll discuss. So basically, you've been holding this process up. New Rule 286.4b, that's what it is, could not apply in this situation. It also implies, colleagues, you must be very clear. If we allow Mr. Mania to stop this process now, every committee in this House, every committee will be stopped if it makes amendments to a bill which the DA thinks goes beyond the scope. Does it in fact go beyond the scope? No. Now, we drafted a report which we sent to you, but actually this report was drafted at 1:48 yesterday. I got this Mania stuff later in the afternoon. I only looked at it later. It says here, insurance bill on page 1, part of the new Twin Peaks model of financial transformation. Financial transformation includes what the World Bank and others want, but exactly what the insurance industry said. It must take into account the specific conditions in South Africa. So really, it's totally wrong. I could go on and on and on. The issue of transformation, as Floyd pointed out, was there at the beginning. It was there in two major public hearings. These transformation provisions where you were asked to insert it months ago. If, in fact, on the third area, you cannot separate the public hearings on the financial sector transformation from the public hearings on insurance bill. Whatever criticism of this committee, we're the last committee they criticized for no hearings. People are here from the South African insurance industry, seated here, Rosemary is here, they're allowed to speak till the last moment. Then on the issue of the Reserve Bank, we are not affecting the constitutional role of the Reserve Bank. If, in fact, the FSRA is not clear enough, we need to go back to the FSAR vote. We said, after the public hearings on the financial sector transformation, that we will look at all the legislation at the end. We need to tweak it if necessary. On the issue of what they are to do, it is questionable whether one can argue that prudential doesn't include transformation. If you want safety and soundness of institutions, you have to ensure that African people, black people more generally are involved, and so on and so on. I could go on and on. It is such a weak argument. There's another 14 points I've got here. Can you defer this? Can you give me for the debate? There's another 14 points I'm not going to go into these things. Only thing I'd like to point out finally is funding. You will remember exactly the same thing, colleagues, happened last year. 1 week before the House was going to rise, they went through some devious means, from what I can tell, to say that firstly, a lot of the country, Tanya, you were chairing, that the printed version of the bill wasn't tabled. In fact, it was tabled. It was a lie. Secondly, they said that you can only vote on the printed version of the bill. There is no such a rule. You only vote on the B version of the bill. What we have said as a committee is that, yes, we have said in this committee, if you want to vote on the printed version of the bill, let Floyd and others in the Rules Committee change it. We don't have a problem. So when we finally found out what happened, everybody is apologetic. They said they were misled by the DA. Let's move on. Now, exactly the same thing happens. If you cannot agree with transformation, you look for some little rule, some remote rule, and try to stop it. The question I'd like to ask the DA rhetorically, you want to be a majority party in 2019. The majority of the people in this country are black, particularly African. Do the African voters you are seeking to secure agree with this thing? Does Mr. Maimane even agree with this? Is he even aware? Are your African and black and progressive white MPs aware that you're doing this? It's shocking, actually. I thought the DA would want to ride on the popular bandwagon of transformation because it wants to win votes. But here we are, once again, Mr. Maney exposed himself as belongs to the extreme right wing of the DA and the neo-racist wing of the DA. I can't say you're racist, you're neo-racist. That's where you are. You're a sophisticated cola bana, as far as I know you, and really, nothing changes. So, in short, Mr. Maney, you waste a lot of our time. You can do what you want, and for what it's worth, both the Deputy Speaker and the House here say no, no, no. Having listened to me, I'll send them the documentation. When you go through the report, you'll see before Mr. Mania's letter came, we had spoken. All that has happened ultimately is we have made more explicit what is implicit in the bill. Secondly, we, like a reasonable, fair, consultative committee, looked at enhancing transformation. And then we discovered that many of the things we want to do are there anyway in the law, Mr. Shibambu. We didn't know that the BBB Double Act makes it legal once you do a code, and so on. So quite frankly, the ANC and certainly the EFF wanted a bit more. What we have said is let's wait for the financial sector summit. We are coming back to these votes, including the FSRA, as we said. At the end of the process, the problem that arises, colleagues, we should have had the financial sector transformation hearings before we looked at the financial sector regulation bill. And the reason we asked for the financial sector transformation hearings is because Pinky and others pointed to this, that there's not enough transformation yet. Floyd raised it, right? I don't know when Floyd raised it. He wasn't so involved at that time, but I think he might have. Well, he would have if he was here. So in short, I think we should be totally unapologetic about what we've done. The issue, comrades, is this. If we have decided through this bill to say that we are now, through this bill, deciding on a national cooperative bank, that could be seen as requiring us to go to the house. If we had said 51% of all assets have to be managed by black asset managers, then you have to go maybe to the house, but certainly not on this one. So we can't concede. I think I've covered the ground so that a precedent is not fixed yet. Sorry for being on for so long, but I haven't been done half of what I wanted to say. Over to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by saying, I mean, I think it's very easy for you to slogan here, call me a racist, a neo-racist, the extreme right wing of the party, opposed to transformation. It's easy to slogan here. Well, I'm dealing with the primary issue, which of course is completely untrue. The point that I'm making here is not a point about transformation and being opposed to transformation. The point I'm making is a point about the independence of the Prudential Authority and the South African Reserve Bank. That's the point I'm making. The remedy the solution would be obvious. If this committee was prepared to apply its mind and not sloganeer and listen to what I'm saying, if indeed you were concerned about the independence of the Prudential Authority and the Reserve Bank, then the solution would be to look at an institution other than the Prudential Authority and the South African Reserve Bank to monitor compliance with the Financial Sector Code and transformation. That would be the solution. So it's very easy to slogan here and call me a racist. I can't help that. It's completely untrue. But you know, being an opposition member of this committee requires that you put up with the worst abuse in this parliament on a daily basis. I'm quite happy to do that. It doesn't say anything about me. It says everything about you and your own prejudice. At the end of the day, it's easy to slogan here. This is not an argument about against transformation. It's an argument for the independence of the Reserve Bank. So that's the first point. The second point to pick up on a point raised by Frank Jenkins in respect to the rule. The question here is technical. The test, you say, is whether the committee has introduced a new policy issue. And I would say that it's clear that a new policy issue, in other words, the transformation of the insurance sector, was introduced. And that's evidenced by the fact that the committee changed not just the clause in the bill, but the objectives of the bill. And so it seems to me that that rule does apply, and obviously we would have to take an opinion, a final opinion from Advocate Frank Jenkins. Then in respect of the public hearing, Floyd Chivambu and you, Chair, are absolutely correct. The whole issue of the transformation of the financial sector was raised, and it was raised, the transformation of the insurance sector was also an issue that was raised. I'm very well aware of it, except it wasn't raised in the public hearings on this bill. It was raised during the hearings on the financial sector transformation. And even if you don't accept the point, the specific clauses that have now been included in the bill were never traversed and advertised in the original public hearings in 2016. So at the end of the day, that is the key point. And so I would think that the two points that the committee should get some clarity on from Advocate Frank Jenkins is, was a new policy measure introduced in his view, and does the rule apply? And then second of all, what are the consequences of these provisions not having been traversed in public hearings on the insurance bill?
I thought you were going to entertain us.
Okay, I'm going to
Chair, let's... let's explain this clearly. When we want to sloganize, we go to rallies in the ANC. That's where we sloganize. Probably I suspect that's where Freud also do it. They do it there in the ESF. Yeah, we're here to work. We're here to make laws that will be just for all South Africans. So we have no reason whatsoever to come and sloganize them. And we also need to respond to this. David must understand, we as the ANC hold a view that he is a neo-racist. And if you want us to demonstrate, we can start from 2014 with behavior in this committee and the things that he has said, and it takes us a whole day just to demonstrate. We even pleaded with him separately to hold himself in the manner in which
he conducted. I have spoken to him on two occasions. Right?
Absolutely. Maybe we even raised it officially as a complaint. So his memory is very short-lived. Let's go to issues of policy measures. In the first instance, the misconception about the role of public hearings. In his view, he thinks that public hearings determine the pace and tempo at which we legislate. No, public hearings are a consultative process. The buck rests with this committee when it takes the decision and the houses adopts our report. That's how we legislate. Because we as the governing party, the majority party, can take the decision. Because we are mandated by the public to do that. So you must not misconstrue consultation to mean the public must be the one that actually determines every letter that is into. Because it's the spirit and the letter at which we consult to make sure that there's conscious engagement and we find one another. It doesn't discount the fact that we as a committee can introduce new clauses there. Nothing in the law, and Frank will respond to that, nothing in the law prevents us from doing that. So again, this is a misplaced argument. Let's go to the next one. The interpretation of the object of the bill. It becomes a matter for debate. His own interpretation about the object leaves out transformatory agenda that is captured in the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. If you read the preamble of the Constitution, if you read it within that spirit, you will understand why, as we interpret the law and as we formulate the law, it must capture the spirit in the Constitution. I don't even want to go to the Freedom Charter because they don't recognize it. At least a document that the DA recognizes the Constitution. Therefore, there is no legislation that will be in contrast or any institution that has been established by a law of this Parliament will be in contrast to what we want to achieve through this Constitution. So, if our interpretation is different from there, well, he knows what he needs to do. We will take cue from what our own legal advises us in terms of how we should interpret the law. So let's leave that one. In terms of the independence of the Presidential Authority, again, there's a narrow interpretation of its independence. Independence meaning it can't transform. We thought that independence is that we will not even interfere with how it operates. There is no presidential authority in the South African, in an African country that will not look at the historical past. Unati. There is no way that any presidential authority in the African continent will undermine the fact that the African continent at one point was colonized. The majority of the people in the African continent were made not to benefit from the commanding height of the economy. Therefore, there is no presidential authority that we will allow as the African people to operate in that fashion. Even if the DA can rule tomorrow, all people who were disadvantaged will rise up, Chair, will say, no, we can't be left out in the economy of our country. Therefore, we will give institutions mandate. That's why this constitution is not confused. You must read and understand it. Then you will understand the point that we are moving from. Let's get to the issues of interpretation and the policy measures and the object. Maybe Advocate Jenkins will explain further. Thanks.
Thank you.
And then I round up now, Mr. Jenkins, and then I want Bashira to come in.
No, Chair. I had thought that the initial inputs of yourself, Floyd and Tandy, were assisting in bringing sense into Honorable Menir, given the fact that all of us as members of this committee participated in both the process of financial sector transformation, including the amendments that we also want to do on this insurance bill. And I think I'm not sure how does transformation compromise or bring unintended consequences to the Prudential Authority. And I think Honorable Mayor must be fair to us, because he acknowledges that in the engagement that we had, everybody who spoke, including people that he thinks is speaking on their behalf, were pro-transformation. And unless if he says the DA wants to see the status quo remain, he must say so and not hide behind other things. We cannot be so irresponsible as a committee and pass a legislation that will make the majority of our people not to participate in opportunities that are there. So we are clear on that, and I think let's proceed in that way.
Thank you, Frank.
No, just a quick correction, Mr. Mayor, that even in the submissions to the insurance bill process, those that came to submit spoke about transformation. It was not only in the transformation of the financial sector, but only. If you have memory as a caucus, it will remind you later on. If there isn't, I can get our persons to come and illustrate to you what has happened. And then you'll remember clearly that these were the submissions of each and every sector. We even ourselves made the official submission as the EFF to say that the Section 22 must be changed in terms of licensing, the Prudential Authority must play certain roles and functions. So there were concrete submissions that we made in specific reference to the bill itself, not broadly in terms of the transformation of the financial sector. So I think it's a matter of correction.
Is that can I just clarify, you did the grid with Antonio, right? When we had the insurance bill, is it true that nobody raised transformation? I'm talking also especially the black role players in this sector and others too. Is that true? That it only came up in the FST hearing?
Jefferson,
why are you asking the question when you know it's not true?
Yeah,
but I think
it wasn't recorded. No, but just to put it for the minute, because I think this is setting a precedent. I spoke to my powers that be, and they said we should minute everything, because they want to use this thing to clarify the rules. Floyd and them have big responsibility. They pop these rules, and they don't spell out to you, know. So I'm asked to do this by the powers that be. So we must minute it. Is it true that because the minutes have to be made available today, Alan? I'll explain to people outside this meeting what's likely to happen. So, can you answer, please, for the record?
According to my recollection, Chairperson, I think the issue of transformation was raised throughout from the financial sector regulation bill up into the insurance bill during the hearing.
Yeah. We need for the record. So it's not true, in other words, is it? Can we just get clarity? It's not true that in the insurance hearing there was no mention of transformation. In fact, it was very much a major theme. Would I be correct in saying that?
Again, the point is being misconstrued. Let me ask Kelly another question. Is it true that the specific clauses in this bill dealing with transformation were dealt with in the public hearings of the insurance bill on the 6th of February 2016?
Can I just, before anybody answers, let me tell you how Parliament works. Right? It's very simple. Very simple. People come and make submissions. Not all of them propose concrete amendments to a concrete clause. This has never happened.
Clauses weren't even in the bill.
Hang on. Can I finish? You see, What Mr. It's not for Zakelia to answer that question. It is a simple thing. You want to change the rules, Mr. Mania, go to lobby in the first instance blog. You see, what you are basically saying is that when people come here, they mustn't just make points about the need for transformation. Even if they come from a rural area and don't speak English, what you're basically saying is that they must make concrete proposals on what amendments they want in which section of a bill. That has never happened in this parliament, nor I suspect in any parliament in the world. They made the point they want transformation. They set up to devise and craft particular amendments. This is the way bills have gone. Secondly, what you are basically saying is that every amendment that is made by the parliamentary committee must be concretely proposed by people who come to make public submissions at hearings. That can never be practical. Thirdly, underlying is an extremely class and elitist approach, because that would give more power to those who speak English and those who can write, and those who are lawyers and who are qualified. Partly related to that, I have myself been one of the prime movers since 1998 of public hearings till the day we wrote on the bill, having lots of doubts about it, because what's happening, it disproportionately represents the South African, for example, insurance industry, or for that matter, COSATU, or for that matter, a powerful NGO. What about the marginalized constituents in those areas? So these advantaged, privileged people, mostly the constituents in the DA, have more of a public say on a bill than the disadvantaged people, who are the constituencies of the ANC and EFF. It's not fair. So in short, what are you saying before, what are you asking? You're asking for a change in the rules.
Well, I'm not sure really what you say, Eunice, because you seem to be listening with your mouth, not your ears. Now, listen to it. What are you saying? I'm saying that...
No, we're not going to allow him to do those things. If you allow him to do them, we're not
going to allow him to do them. Who doesn't understand what I'm saying?
We're not going to allow him to do them.
You call him a racist.
Leave that aside.
No, I'm focusing on the issue of the vote.
But you see, you're not dealing with a concrete issue. Deal with a concrete issue.
I am dealing with that.
The concrete issue is...
The concrete issue
what do you want? You want them to propose concrete amendments.
The concrete issue is this.
In a public hearing.
The concrete issue is this. Is because the subject of the bill was amended, because the objectives of the bill were amended to then include transformation, and because specific clauses giving effect to that were introduced after the public hearings, I am simply saying that those aspects of the bill were never advertised and never traversed during public hearings.
They were made by the public, right?
Chair, you know, it's very convenient of David to realize when clauses are changed. And I'll make an example. When we're dealing with the Twin Peaks legislation, after having made inputs, the team had to go and reformulate how certain clauses were captured. Momo, you'll remember that. But because it suited his agenda, he never came here and said, no. In terms of procedure, it was not discussed in the public hearing. You see, I told you that he's advancing a technical argument to downplay the policy positions that you are holding dear. And you see, we need to learn to hold public hearings in Bochum and make David to walk the streets of Bochum. Then he will know that all of views matter in South Africa. As long as we don't do that, it's our fault, you see. That's why it behaves in the manner.
Yes, should you focus on the issue?
Chair, I'm redirecting you to the issues. You allowed yourself to be defocused by having to contend with Zakhele. Something that we know.
I have to do it for the minute. Please,
it's fine, Chair. I raise issues that Advocate Jenkins need to clarify. One is how he interprets what is the object of the bill.
You're coming to all of that.
Yes. Right. Now I want you to allow Advocate Jenkins to advance the argument that we advance, so that it must be clear that it's his interpretation against the interpretation of Parliament itself, not just ours.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I thought you would give me an opportunity to speak before the week, but it's fine.
Okay, I didn't see you hand there.
Okay, it's fine. No, you know I don't do that. Chair, I think we've been, this committee has been very understanding, very accommodative, and very tolerant. And Honorable Menye must just appreciate that. And what I see is that he's abusing that, and he thinks he still needs to be in control. And I think, according to me, he wants to take us back to where we came from, that he is the boss, he will insult us, he'll talk to the chairperson as he wants, and not respect the chairperson, or not respect the committee. That is not acceptable, and it comes from us as the committee, not from you. We are going to protect you as the chairperson of the committee because we respect you, and we expect the same from you. And when you speak about the issue of rallying, I think that's what you do best, Honorable Minister. We are not DJing. We know when we want to DJ, we want to dance the music. We go to the clubs and we don't go do it like you do. But then, Chair, I'm just becoming intolerant because we've been too tolerant of David and the DA. Each time we deal with these processes, he will contribute, or they will choose not to contribute when they are supposed to. And at the 11th hour, when we are supposed to finalize this issue, he comes with this technicality to delay the process. And it's an open secret that the DA and the Honorable Minister, they represent a certain section, and that's the interest. And unfortunately, in this process, Honorable Chair, when we were doing a consultation, those people were here. You have spoken to them. I think they were refreshing your mandate and stuff. You have represented them. And Chair, I'm appealing to the committee and your good self and the week that we should no longer allow David to undermine us. I can't take it any longer. Those days are gone, David. Just accept them.
Now, for you to speak like that is very unusual. So it carries more weight, frankly, than any other member. Frank, can you answer the question? As I remember them, they are one. Does every clause that the committee amends have to be first approved and come from a public hearing? Two, if you alter the objectives of a bill, does it automatically follow your change in its scope? Three, does, having heard Mr. Mania, does that rule apply? Four, overall, are we doing anything that warrants us to go back to the House to pass a motion asking for an extension of the scope? And then I'll ask Treasury to come in on the issue of the role of the Reserve Bank, and we'll not be able to say anything.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue of public hearings and what's raised there and whether the committee can or is restricted to that. Chairperson, as far as my knowledge goes, the issue of public participation, as it was discussed in Doctors for Life in the Constitutional Court, it's about participation. In fact, there's a link between participation and transformation. In that case, as in many other cases, the Constitutional Court said that the Constitution is a transformative document. It's a bridge from the past to the future. So when it comes to public participation, what is necessary to understand is that government cannot act without consulting the public. How Parliament engages the public is for Parliament to decide. So if there's a rule that says Parliament can only consider what's raised in a public hearing on a bill, in respect of that bill in the committee hearing, in other words, this sort of Chinese wall is built around a public hearing and what discussed there, then Parliament must stick with those rules, but those rules are not there. So how I've been advising committees, if something is raised in a meeting, I mean, we can even take the vendor pension case matter and we can get them to pension laws. There's a synergy between the two, and Parliament will be an ostrich with a head in the sand that just ignores one set of information because it was given in a forum where we discuss something else, although it relates to something, if you understand what I'm saying. So, Chair, on that question, I would say no. Parliament is in the business of information, and we need to use information for all our purposes. And there's a synergy, there's a mixture between this. Chair, on the issue of is it a new policy matter because it's in the objectives of the Act? I've sort of started with this thing. The issue of transformation is a constitutional issue that's there. It infiltrates and it permeates through everything that we are doing as public servants in terms of the Constitution. It's written in a different way in Section 195. Section 195 deals with how public servants, including members of Parliament, needs to be guided in what they do. And there is the issue that we must be developmental orientated. The developmental orientated within the South African context means reversing imbalances from the past. It means transforming the society from a fascist society into a rule-based democratic society, which takes time. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a new policy issue. Specifically with the financial sector, I've been in this committee for a few years now. It is certainly not a new issue, not a new policy issue at all. If I need to identify a new policy issue with the insurance or with the insurance bill, and we've spoken about this, is when we look at the bill and suddenly we are trying to tell the insurance company how it must invest the money that it should hold for capital requirements, and really go into that. But, Sir Chair, I do not think it's a new policy issue. I also do not think it's necessary to go back to the House to get permission. I've discussed this with a colleague who was involved with the drafting of the rules. There were certain blocks of rules we considered last year, and she was involved specifically with the issue of legislative process. So I went and I discussed this with her, because for me the rule is not 100% clear. But the purpose of the rule was clear, and that is, as I said, it's a new policy issue. It's not any new decision, any new thing that happens. And if I can compare it, sorry for taking too much time, compare it with an amendment bill. Before this rule came in, we only dealt with amendment bills. An amendment bill, you cannot do new amendments to the Principal Act without getting permission. But even that, clearly if we change certain things in the amendment bill and it affects other provisions in the Principal Act, you don't need permission. It's only if you bring a whole new policy issue in there. So one must be clear about the purpose of the rule and understand how Parliament operates. If you do not understand that, Parliament will become stymied or hamstrung with having to go back to the House for every single or every small amendment we need to make. And that was never the intention of the subcommittee or the NA Rules Committee or the House when they approved the rules. So, Chair, I think there's nothing else I'm aware of that should stop this process we are dealing with. Just the last question.
Can I suggest you put this down on paper and tomorrow we just adopt it as a resolution? One other thing we could do, maybe colleagues, is to ask the Rules Committee to clarify, because this can't be used for the wrong reason. What is the aim of the thing? You said there's a guide to rules you're doing.
There's a guide.
Yeah, we'll ask that it's clarified. Yes. Can't we need to move on and you most...
I need to make this comment, because, you know, our legal advisors work very hard to interpret the rules and to advise us. And sometimes we are forced by people who misinterpret the rules and not giving us their own legal opinion to undermine how people who have been in the institution for so many years and who have dealt with the rules and the laws themselves to bend back and forth to accommodate individuals who even when we want to engage them to understand the rules refuses profusely to understand it. And I don't think it's fair to all of us, and I don't think we should allow it again. Because there is no legal opinion that there's no legal opinion that the DAS table that is contrary, or there's no interpretation that can send constitutional master that has been tabled here before us, except vague arguments, and we are made to engage with those vague arguments. I don't think we should tolerate such things.
We will adopt a resolution in this regard to accept the precedent and not to be abused. Having said that, over to Treasury, and if not, you want to say anything on, are we applying rules here that are unconstitutional? Only we're about to round up. We're asking Treasury and staff to tell us if there's anything unconstitutional in what we've done in the vote, or anything irregular.
Chair, let me just start with the independence of the staff. The independence of the staff is not a general independence, firstly. The SARB does lots of agency-type functions for government or the Treasury, like exchange control. If you look at the Constitution, it's only in relation to section, its primary objective, which is to protect the value of the currency in the interest of balance and sustainable economic growth. that the sub must perform its functions independently without fear, favor, or prejudice. So, for example, the whole issue of the acting as a supervisor of banks is done in terms of legislation. And to the extent that the PA and those functions are independent, it's the way I understand it, it's up to just normal law to say how we want it to operate. Obviously, we want it to operate pretty independently, but you know, there's degrees of independence, and I think that it's not as independent as a sub when it comes to the operation of policies around its primary objective. So I don't think it really goes in any way against, it certainly doesn't go against the, I think, the Constitution. I'm not a lawyer, as you know, in putting any clauses that go beyond the narrow prudential. If you want to put other objectives, you can do that in terms of legislation. And neither do I think that it really goes against the spirit of what we want the Twin Peaks system to function. I think that if the prudential supervisor were not to get involved in this, in fact, my worry is that the decisions may be taken then by other regulators who actually won't understand the prudential issues. So I think it you know, we'd be more comfortable in doing it in terms of this approach. I don't think that there's really any issues around independence that we as a department are concerned about. I think with regard to the process, you've answered that, and I won't go into that, but I wanted to make a point, because I'm happy at what Advocate Jennings has said, because to be honest, having done a lot of legislation, there's always changes, and then we'll get into issues like, is it a new policy or not, what's new. I think, I hope the rules of Parliament sort of don't become so rigid that it doesn't allow for the kind of discussion that I think we need. So certainly I think we would hope that that's not correct, but I think you dealt with that.
So just briefly, I mean, Momo has already covered it. So we really don't think that any of the proposals contained in the two papers that we're discussing this morning undermine the independence of either the staff or the prudential authority. In fact, you will remember that the construct of the FSRA already includes the transformation of the financial sector in the object. And the FSRA doesn't just cover the regulatory functions of the staff, it also covers the financial stability mandate. So if we were concerned with any threat to the independence of the staff, we would have raised that as an issue in that construct. This is much more narrower. It talks to the regulatory functions as they pertain to the insurance sector. So we're not worried about any aspect of the independence of the staff at all. Maybe just a specific input on the scope and whether there's an extension of the scope of the PA in these proposals. So the FSRA defines the scope of the PA in Section 33, and the primary objective is the promotion and enhancement of prudential standards of institutions. But Section 34 already assigns to the PA non-prudential public policy imperatives like financial inclusion, sustainable competition, and so on. And in fact, Section 34, subsection 2, that also says the PA must also do any other function that is conferred on it through legislation. So we see this process as what is envisaged in that part of our mandate. With regards to the independence specifically of the PA, that still stands in Section 34, subsection 5. It says, with regards to any of the functions, we have to do our work without fear, favor, or prejudice. And that will be our approach, regardless of what the final construct is in terms of the insurance field. So we don't think any of that concerns us. So that framework is not going to change through this.
So
what
are
Can we move on now, please, colleagues? We've done that. Now, colleagues, I want to remind you we have looked at all the... Sorry? Okay, fine. You're entitled to ask your question.
It seems to me that your view has changed, because it seemed to me when you were dealing with the financial sector transformation report that you had expressed reservations about this matter. In fact, if I recall correctly, the term you used was it will be difficult but not impossible. What were you referring to then?
We're not opening the discussions about the mandate of the Prudential Authority. Here we're finalizing the insurance deal. So if there need to be exchanges in terms of the views of the Prudential Authority, which is not the one that finalizes this brief but us, that engagement should happen somewhere else. So in terms of procedure, we're not reopening the discussions that we have engaged in, including the presentations that were made by the South African Reserve Bank when it explains its mandate. So if we're going to allow that discussion, can we be excused? It happened somewhere else because it doesn't belong to this process even when it unfolds now. We are about to vote.
Can I get some guidance, Frank? I hear you, Tandy, but he's simply clarifying and just abusing David Smithamania of his understanding of what he said. That's the issue. It's not opening up the debate. Frank, am I allowed to... What do you feel I should do?
Can I express my view then?
Well, can other members speak? I don't think the majority can overrule me. All I'm saying is...
Well, that was the point of... Can I express my view?
Yeah.
Chair, I was raising a point of error. Now I want to engage on what David is saying. You see, there's a difference between what is a view and what is a policy imperative. If the policy imperative of the Prudential Authority even speaks to issues that doesn't relate to mandate, as explained by UNATI now, it can't be changed. It's in the legislation. So it means David wants us to even change that principle that is in the object of that legislation.
Guided by the meeting, up to now this committee has been allowing people to speak free. We try to avoid replacing people and just ruling our order is absolutely necessary. I'm loath to do it, but if that's the view of the majority, I'm forced to do it. Pinky?
No, Chair. I thought you were in order just to allow UNATI to clarify that point so that... In as much as we don't want to reopen certain things, but if a member feels he has to be clarified on something, let him actually respond on that.
Just explain the misunderstanding. That is what it's about. But we're not opening up, as you rightly say, the
yes.
FSC. We voted on the FSC report last week. Unati, just simply reply to his misunderstanding.
Thank
can
you.
I be
released?
Can I be released? I've got another issue.
Well, you're the worst.
But really, Tandy, you're the worst.
Yeah, but we might want this meeting, don't we?
Yes, but there's no right to call
the meeting in the morning while the committees are sitting, but nevertheless, that's a matter of resolve. As you know, I've written to the powers that be to complain. Will not be pleased then.
Sure, just quickly. So, we've not changed our view. The simple point we were making last week is that when it comes to taking enforcement action, the gold standard has to be to test those actions against our primary objective. That's all we're saying, and we're consistent with what we said.
Okay, that's clear. Can we move on then, colleagues? You can engage with him outside this meeting. Whenever you disagree, you seem to say you don't understand. You seem to say. Like, on the insurance bill, colleagues, I'm guided by you. You will recall that we have now the latest amendments we've approved of, right? So these amendments that we have here, I'm just going through the procedure. We've done them already, okay? So what I'm going to do is propose that in order to avoid a situation that happened with human error last time, that we agree informally with the bill, there will be no discussions tomorrow, and we agree with the report, we just come and vote on it tomorrow. But that gives us 24 hours between Frank, myself, Zakele, and the team to sort out cleanup things. So having said that, on page, I'm going to take the floor. Are there any issues people want to raise based on the amendments that have already been made? Right, so I'm not going to go through it page by page, right? We'll formally vote on the post tomorrow. We will note the DA's objections, obviously. Yes, there are some things you want to raise in addition. Right. That's what gives us 24 hours to sort out, right? Okay.
Just regarding the one amendment to clause 30 subsection 4, we've just noted that at the end of the new paragraph A, we should just add a reference to Act where it says in item 22.1c.3, we should also add a reference to and item 6 of Schedule 3.
Yeah. See, those are the things colleagues we need some space and time. And if need be, I'll confer with we vote on Thursday. Why should we kill ourselves? We've approved on a vote. There's small things we pick up, right? And that's the job of actually the staff, but I take responsibility as well. That is why, Mama, I keep telling you. Right? Remember yesterday, you said, vote on the bill today. I said, no way. Right? So listen, I'll be up this meeting. I know. I've got thousands of those. We've done Okay, so this has happened before. Yes, you want to see them? You covered. That's the only thing. All right, apart from that, colleagues, we're not going to go through the whole thing, right? So we're approving of the bill informally with the amendment, and I would suggest 48 hours to the one day off, and we vote on Thursday, provided that we are voting in the House next Tuesday. Okay, having said that, can we look at the report, which we can vote on tomorrow, because we sent it to you rather late, and I must confess that I'm happy as well. You know, I have other things to do. On the insurance bill report, you will see on the first one, we simply say what the bill is about. Interestingly, there we noted in paragraph 1, line 2, it is the lower income. It was emailed to you as well at 9, but copies will be circulated. It is the lower income earners that usually suffer disproportionately when financial institutions fail. And in South Africa, these are mainly black people. The subheading reads, colleagues, just to make the point clear. I've already got the report. Everybody's got it, right? You will see the subheading is insurance bill, part of the new Twin Peaks model of financial transformation. That's what it's about. And then what the bill is, consolidated legal framework. Then under section 3, we talk about its maintenance of a fair and stable and safe insurance market by establishing a legal framework for all of that. You'll notice in the last one, we say while taking into account the specific conditions in South Africa. In other words, the point made by the black insurers was, you abide by global international standards, and that impedes our entry into the market. Then, what the insurance sector does, paragraph 5, financial inclusion, customers are treated fairly and are protected from poor outcomes. Again, it affects primarily black African people in particular. 2008 global financial and economic crisis. You need higher prudential and market conduct. We've been through that with the FSRA. Paragraph 7, if anybody has got a problem with these paragraphs for now, raise it. Paragraph 7, they refer to the solvency assessment and management framework. Paragraph 8, the enhanced prudential framework for insurance firms, part of phase 2. Phase 1 being the passage of the FSRA. And then point 10, an important part of the overall transformation of the financial sector, the bill seeks to encourage new entrants in the highly monopolized insurance industry and contribute towards deracialization and other aspects of the transformation of the financial sector. The public consultation process, no other committee does this sort of thing anyway in this parliament that we know of. Transformation of the insurance sector, we've just been through all of that, simply records all the clauses that we've done in terms of transformation. Confirmation of previously registered insurance, we explain it. Not new licensing, it's conversion of the licenses. Microinsurance, we say, yes, microinsurance offers you the opportunity to grow, but you won't be ghettoized there. Fees and levies, this will be dealt with in the pending financial sector levies bill. We ask that policyholders be given preferential creditor status. That is being addressed, and we want to report back on that. On the cost of regulation, explain how that will be dealt with. And then we align this bill with the financial sector regulation bill, and we thank everybody. So that is basically the report. Colleagues will vote on the report tomorrow. Yes, do you want to say something?
I just want to tell us, that you're going to vote on a bill tomorrow. Not the...
Maybe
not. I just want to plead, our staff said...
They can go back, but you see, we've got something right now. You said Thursday. Yeah, you know, to be fair...
It kills me. Because I have to go through all of it. But, so if you can deliver it by today and Frank approves. Frank, you're the guardian here. If you feel the bill is ready for voting, by 9:30 tomorrow let me know. Then we can vote on the bill. If you don't approve, can you do it? Can you check that all and think? Perfect. Frank?
I need some sleep, sir. To be honest. I mean, I didn't sleep last night because
I'm out of the stage.
You came with an amendment right now. So no. At this stage, okay, are we agreeing? It's not fair. I will discuss with the House Chair now and with the Fizile Bengu. I will email all of you by 5 o'clock today. But Frank, can you start working on the report on processing amendments to bills and the scope issue? That we need by this afternoon. Okay. And the powers that be want that, please. Okay, having said that, either tomorrow or Thursday we'll vote on the report and the vote. We can do it through cell phone, internet, and so on. You don't have to be based in Cape Town. Okay. Now, the next thing then is the Venda thing. Can you take us through the report, please? Now, here we have to vote, Tandy, and then you can leave. Yeah, you can be excused. The Venda pension matter, you can negotiate with Frank. Frank's the ultimate authority. Yeah, I'm not prepared to go to every clause again. It's too long ago. Thank you. Frank, take us to the Venda pension matter. Colleagues, we're about to vote now. I need to be using it a few minutes if you cooperate, please. But, Sam, can you take us through it very quickly? Because it's not a...
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah. The first, I would say first, 7 paragraphs is background to the issue.
Yeah.
The 2 reports from the public protector, the one of 2011 and the later one of 2016-17, which was issued at the beginning of this year, basically just saying what is required from Parliament.
Good point, thank you. Good point. What is that, Alan? Thank
you.
Keep it like that.
Mama, you have changed the headstand, that's why.
Okay, please. Carry on, please.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Then, these points were discussed within my briefing document that we submitted to the meeting on 10th of October. From paragraph 8 onwards, I'm just setting out the procedure that was followed by the committee itself. And just to refresh the committee, what was required from the public protector is that the speaker must respond to the public protector, indicating what oversight mechanisms have been established to deal with this report. And obviously it's been referred to this committee. So that's the answer, and that's giving effect to the recommendation of the public protector. I think the crux of the issue is paragraph 11, which is the statement that was drafted for the committee. I think the committee, I'm not sure if they adopted it, but that's the statement that was drafted where they say that they agreed with the public protector's findings, they support the recommendations, and of course, the timeframes for addressing the public protector's report that was given a sort of an action plan by the National Treasury. The timeline is only end of November, so my view, Chair, is that this committee still needs to play a role in this matter. So one of the recommendations I've put in there is for the Minister of Finance to report back to the National Assembly, and the National Assembly will refer to this committee, just to see what has happened in the end.
Given 15th of December as the deadline.
Yes, I mean, that's just a proposal.
Okay, good. That's perfectly reasonable. Any questions about this report? No. Can we move for a report, please? Move up, please. And second, thank you. Okay, in that case, it's particularly and tricky. On the minutes, as we normally do, we take each quarter's minutes together. They were sent to you last week. Are there any amendments you want to make to the minutes? Yes.
Chair, I haven't had a chance to look through the minutes. I'd just like Alan's assurance that any amendments that we might have put in legislation are included in the relevant minutes. If I get that assurance, I'm happy.
Do you want to answer yes or answer to the right?
Yeah, in the report we refer to amendments proposed by, or in the minutes we refer to amendments proposed by whoever.
And those amendments are attached to the minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like them just attached to the minutes.
Can I raise a procedural one here? Is it the norm to attach the... No, so then just do what the norm says. Change the rules. David, don't come here and try to change rules. If it's not the rule, don't do it. We note the minutes, right? Can we also make the point, can you minute this? That I think Floyd is right. I know Mr. Hanekom probably is. I think we should, now that we've got Zakhele here, and I think the worst is over, Zakhele, because that FSC report killed you and me, right? And there's too many bills before. And we are now free of all bills after tomorrow. But I want to alert you to the Postbank bill, the carbon tax bill, the financial, the prospective, all in the cabinet cycle. Because they come here in the middle of January, and they still have three bills. But, Zakhele, now you'll have more time to focus on the ministry. And I think we should, once a month, protest minutes, okay?
No,
it is his job.
Yeah, but this people must do their job. You cannot give Zakhele.
Zakhele, can you explain? Can you speak out that? The rule is, they do the minutes, and you protest the minutes. You can only come to us. I refuse to entertain Tavi's question. That's a management question, right?
Yeah.
Let me inform you, there's nothing to discuss. Tavi, can you go and speak to the Secretary of Parliament? The rule is, the norm is, you prepare the minutes. Zakhele's content advisor's job description is to oversee it. And frankly, with due respect, if it was not for Zakhele, we couldn't protest minutes. We drew in Derek Hanekom when Zakhele was on the jurette. If it wasn't for Derek Hanekom, know that, we couldn't have finished the minutes. So the second quarter minutes, can somebody move for the first quarter minutes? Every minute you can put your name in. Who's moving? Derek Hanekom, you can't move because you were not here in the first quarter. And good that you were not. And good that you were not. Yeah, Nicky Levy and then Pinky. And second quarter minutes, we don't want the civilian says, any mover for all those minutes. This time it's Pinky, seconder. All right, we'll have to get a seconder. Until we do, there's no seconder. Okay, we'll
second.
Who's seconding this? Charlie. Good, thank you very much. See you tomorrow. We've got a tax ombudsperson here. The judge is going to be here at 10 o'clock, Tandy. All of us need to behave, Mr. Mania included. Secondly, when we finish with the judge, we'll vote, if we have to, on the report and the insurance bill. Otherwise, we'll convene at Thursday, 1 o'clock, in G26. Thank you all.
ANC colleagues, we are meeting, Tandy, are we right? We're meeting tomorrow immediately after the finishing of the issue in preparation for next week. Okay, can I just raise some matter on record? Please, I have to raise something up. Can everybody please listen? We got a reply from Mr. Commissioner Moyane. He has requested that the lawyers of Parliament, I think it's you, right? The lawyers of Parliament is nothing there. He simply says that in terms of the FIC Act and so on, the lawyers of Parliament, the lawyers from the FIC, and the lawyers from FARC should meet to decide on how to release the report, fiscal, and so on. So I'll give you a copy of that letter. It wasn't clear to me whether it was an official letter, or it was a note to me, because it's sent in a strange way. I will find out what it is. I'll ask Sam Mandemane to do that. So by today, if I hear nothing, I'll release that letter. But that's what the letter says. Frank, and we have some time to push to the coming issue.
Yeah.
And you have to follow up on that. On the matter of the meeting, I will try to speak tomorrow. The key issue tomorrow will be discussed on the role of the Chinese community in order to discuss the issue about my protecting the entire. We have already issued a statement in reply to your statement saying we deeply regret Michael Factory. You know, the committee deeply regrets that somebody, as I said, I can't recall what I said, but off the top, the committee deeply regrets that somebody of the technical expertise, political sophistication, and work ethic of Michael Flack, which is deep roots in the political movement of this country, has this arrogant integrity, has decided to leave Treasury. And we have preferred him, what we've written to the other officials and the ministers or and the politicians who have faith, and we wish him well in the public sector role that he seems to be working towards. Something like that. So there's no issue there. The other issue is related to Mr. Mania about, can I just brief you? On the matter of the SARS intelligence unit, KPMG matter, I have discussed the matter with Emperor Gorgi, as mandated by the committee, and he has explained that they will not be asking for that report. Secondly, I've spoken to Charles on three occasions in the House and over the phone. He is saying, he's waiting for your letter from your members to the Zulu, I put you, that your DA members in the Intelligence Committee need to write to you, so he will process that. As far as the remaining matter is concerned, frankly, you draft something so that when the Commissioner comes next week, he's alert that one of the first issues we're dealing with in January will be precisely that. Issues there are, what was the role of KPMG and the SARS lawyers in shaping the ultimate report? We are not looking into the role of the so-called intelligence unit that will fall under the intelligence committee, but we will look at the role of the auditors and the complaints that the commissioner wrote to us about to present you about what KPMG did. And we will also ask the commissioner about the whether it's true that the SARS lawyers had a hand in shaping the outcome. Now, for next week, when SARS comes, I've contacted Samuel Manivala now to give me the annual report. So on the 28th, our main focus is the annual report and outstanding issues around Mapwakwa, outstanding issues around Flemington, outstanding issues will be a decision we'll take formally on what exactly we will look at in January next year.
Are we taking the next day?
No. If you listen to what I said, for next week's agenda, one is the annual report, two is the Mapwakwa matter, the Flemington matter, three, four is the KPMG SARS dispute about the report on the intelligence unit. We will take that to January. We can't look at it now. And Mr. Jacob, I think the agenda will shape the terms of our inquiry so that SARS is prepared for it. So that's the agenda for next week. Now, explain to you, I'm explaining to you, Mr. Lania. Mr. Lania, and he has given me about, I don't know what, 25 questions or something. And he said, no, there's 25 questions that mean that all of them are bringing an answer. We just produced about 5 or 6 questions. He said, yes, we can do it. We can answer questions in the meeting. So I'll discuss this with Mr. Lania offline and I'll report to the study tomorrow.
I was going to meet NDA
before. Yes, NDA next week. Yeah. Now the deputy minister is away out of the country and we will accept that. The minister can't make it, but the DG will be there. Okay. That's fine. We prefer the GM for the minister to be here, but that's fine. We can't have them. This is to our job. 4 times a year we have them here. Thank you for that. I'll put this away on the top line about this place for what programming you should. Thank you for the remaining. How many days? How many days have we got? 4 days. You've got a long program. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.